message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
I try to be as sharp as possible, cut down on as many as possible, so as to allow us to close on or before 4 a.m. this morning. To God be all the glory. Isaiah chapter 60, from verse 1 to verse 3. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Somebody say amen. Amen. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. Are you already sleeping? Somebody say amen. Amen. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Now look at this. The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Somebody say amen. You have been destined for higher heights. It is God's intention permanently to make you to be at the top. In Deuteronomy 28 verse 13, he says, thou shalt be the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only. Someone say above only. Above only. That is, there's no other option. Above only and not beneath. You will be at the top only. You will only be excelling, not seen among the failures. You are not to be on the low ground. You are not to be on the low level at all. Since your father is at the top, then where are you supposed to be? At the top. If this is the case, why does it look like Christians, a lot of Christians are not occupying their place? Why is it so obvious that many Christians are not at the top where they are destined to be? Why is it that many Christians, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 5, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, an error which proceeded from the ruler, that is from children of God, from rulers. I have seen something that is not right. Verse 6, just the next verse. Folly. People that shouldn't be in high places, foolish people, are now the ones sitting in great dignity. And the people that are supposed to be rich, the Christians that are supposed to dominate, they are now in low places. Somebody say, God forbid. That is the case of most Christians. That is the case of most children of God. Many are not occupying their place. And why is it so? Because of opposition. That's why we are here. Because opposition have insisted that they will never fulfill destiny. But I'm here today as a servant of God sent to you to tell you that the devil will fail over your case. What is opposition? Opposition are wicked enemies of life, programmed to a man's destiny by the devil and his agent to hinder their higher heights. Oppositions are wicked enemies, programmed to a man's destiny by the devil and his agent to hinder their destiny. In 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9, the Bible says, for a great door effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. A great door. Something great is about to happen, but many devils are insisting that it's not happen, but they will fail. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Many of our fathers, I will not have time to go through all that. I have to call this message short. Many people in the past also face opposition. You are not the first, and neither will you be the last. In Genesis 26 from verse 1, there was famine in the land. In the time of Isaac, there was a great famine. Everybody was hungry. And in verse 2, God appeared unto him, and God told him many things, that he's going to bless him, this and that. And as a result of this, we jump to verse 12 because of time. Then Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Somebody say, the Lord blessed him. He sowed and the Lord blessed him. But what happened? Verse 13. And the man was great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. In verse 15. For all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines stopped him. Opposition stopped him from progress. They saw that it's like, they said, the way this guy is going, he will soon take over the wealth of this land. The way this lady is going, it looks like she's the one that will marry the best husband. The way this guy is going, it looks like his ministry will go forward. Now listen, opposition is not only to members, even pastors that are not careful, devil will oppose them. Devil tries to oppose anybody that he sees that their destiny is great. Bible said they stopped him, but they will not be able to stop you. I said they stopped him, but they will not be able to stop you. Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? In verse 17 and verse 16, and Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much greater than we. They were jealous of him. They said, leave us. They were trying to pursue him out of his inheritance. In verse 17, and Isaac departed thence. I'm still on Genesis 26, 17. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again. Somebody say again. Don't sleep, oh. And Isaac digged again the well of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistine has stopped them. He stopped this guy again. What is the problem? You don't want me to make it? Don't you want me to succeed? Why is it that everywhere I go, you try to stop me? That was what Isaac was saying there. I was walking in a place, you stopped me. I moved to another place, you pursue me there. That's why those that leave Nigeria and travel abroad, without settling the issue of opposition, the opposition that faces them abroad is above the one of Nigeria, because the forces there, their forces, they are combined with forces that pursue them on the oceans they pass through. Immediately the forces saw that they were inside the aeroplane, they started pursuing the aeroplane, they landed with him, they entered inside the box, and they went to the room of the person with the person. So people that leave Nigeria and say, I'm leaving, it is this one, it's better for you to settle this opposition now before you go. There's nothing bad in traveling. There's nothing bad in going abroad. I've gone before and I will go again. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. I will not die in this Nigeria. Somebody say amen. You too, you will go. And you will return safely. Your amen is not born again. Your amen is not born again. Even if you don't want to go and stay there, at least you go for visiting. That's it. Nobody says you should go there and leave. But at least you go. You even say, when they even say, this place there, you are here, you have been hearing of London, America, Canada, India. At least you go there and see what is there. And you return back. You will go safely, you return safely. But let's go back to where we are going tonight. Thank you, Jesus. And in verse 18, and Isaac digged again the well of the waters which they had digged in the days of his father, for the Philistines stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called the names by which his father had called them. In verse 19, and Isaac's servant digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the waters is ours. And he called the name of the place Esek, because they strove with him. Verse 21, And they digged another again and they strove for that also. What is the problem? Why are these people so offensive? And why are they pursuing him from one place to another? Why is it that everywhere this guy tries to go to do well in life, evil forces pursue him there? Maybe that's the story of somebody here today. When you're in your village, they oppose you. You went to a semi-city, they are opposing you. You are now in a city, they are opposing you. But tonight, that opposition must bow. I say that opposition must bow. And in verse 22, and he moved from thence and digged another well. For that they strove not. Somebody say relief. And he called the name of that place Rehoboth. For he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Somebody say amen. I have so many other examples here which I won't be able to go into tonight because of non-availability of time. Another word for opposition is enemy or destroyer or stumbling block or hindrance or barrier. What are the examples of what opposition try to do in the life of people? Examples of what oppositions try to do in the life of people. Number one, or A, is they try to delay the fulfillment and the actualization of destiny. Oppositions try to delay the fulfillment and the actualization of destiny. You have a destiny. You are not a mistake. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Before I formed in the mother's womb, I knew thee and I ordained thee a prophet. That is, God has a reason why he made you. But the work of opposition is to ensure that you don't fulfill that purpose. But they will fail. I said they will fail. What again do opposition do? They hinder actualization of potentials. They hinder the actualization of potentials. They hinder the actualization of potentials. Let's get the testimonies ready so that we can read it before we go into prayers. Number three, what do oppositions do? They bring health challenges. Oppositions plant health challenges. Problem in health, sicknesses are from opposition. Disease is from opposition. God will not test you with sickness. He loves you too much. God will not plant sickness inside of you. He loves you too much. It is from opposition. D or four, what do? They bring financial limitation and lack. Oppositions bring financial limitations and they bring lack. Financial limitations and lack. Financial limitations and lack. And number five, or E, is they oppose your progress. Oppositions oppose your progress. No sleep. Protocols. Ushers, please go around. Anybody sleep, just tap them to stand up. Just stand up where they are now. They should stand up. Please go around now. That's why we are here. You will sleep after the service. Why will you be sleeping in the service? Have your opposition follow you here, Nike? Now, let's go on. Why do enemies oppose us? Why? Why do they oppose us? Number one, enemies oppose us because that is their assignment. John chapter 10, verse 10. For the enemy, comment, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is the assignment of the enemy and his agent, to oppose people, to steal their destiny, to kill their destiny, and to destroy their destiny. But your destiny shall be unkillable. Your destiny shall be unstealable. Even for yourself, you cannot say amen. Your destiny shall be unkillable and unstealable. Number two, why do enemies oppose us? Because they are against God. And they know if they can get us, they can get God. Enemies, the enemy is against God. Satan is against God. And he knows we are the children of God. If he can attack the children of God, he knows that God will not be happy. And one way or the other, he can get upset by doing that. And so he tries all he can to ensure that he upsets God. He obsesses God at all costs. But for you, that plan shall be aborted in the name of Jesus. I said that plan of the wicked shall be aborted in the name of Jesus. Can I hear a loud amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? Number three, why do the enemy oppose us? To weary us and to discourage us from serving God. One of the reasons why the enemy tried to oppose you is to weary you, to make you tired of serving God. You can see what happened during that drama. That guy said, "Why am I'm not expecting anything. I've been on the same spot for long. Thank God that he listened to that mama. Thank God that he listened to that mama and changed his ways." Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Galatians 6 verse 9. Enemy wants to weary you, but he will not pass. I say he will not pass. I say he will not pass. Let me cut the others and move very quickly. How to crush all opposition on your way to higher levels. Take this quickly, then we go to prayers. How do I crush my opposition? We've taken the first part through the servant of God, through praise, and we'll move on to other areas whereby you can crush the opposition to your fulfillment of destiny. Number one, here tonight, is knowledge that you have an enemy. Some Christians are so knowledge dry that they don't know that they have enemy. They don't know. In Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, the Bible says, "My people are destroyed." Why? They lack knowledge. If you see some Christians, their behavior is so useless. Their behavior is so useless that you will say, "Ashewo kin ronu ni." As in, they don't have any, they don't care about anything. They behave as if there's nothing that is pursuing them. The Bible says, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about what? Seeking what? Whom to devour. He's going around. Look at what he did to Job. He was going around. God said, "Where are you coming from?" He said, "I'm coming from to and fro." You have an enemy. That's why you cannot take your destiny casually. That's why you cannot afford to spend 24 hours under the dryer without spending any hour in prayer. You spend 24 hours under the dryer or in the salon. Jehovah, you must have knowledge that I can't oversleep. You don't want me to make it. The devil doesn't want me to do well. The devil doesn't want me to prosper. The devil doesn't want me to go forward. The devil doesn't want me to deliver this baby. The devil doesn't want me to enjoy this job. But he will fail. I say we fail. Somebody's here. The devil wants you to face tanker. He will fail. Somebody's here. Devil does not want you to fulfill destiny. He will fail. If I were you, I would say loud amen. Number two, how to crush your enemy is refuse to enter into an unholy agreement with the devil. There is no agreement you can enter with the devil. He will betray you. There is no agreement you can enter with the wicked. He will betray you. The only thing you should do to the devil is to make him fear you and make him submit to you. Psalm 66 verse 3. Say that unto God, how terrible thou art. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves unto thee. Psalm 66 verse 3. Until the enemies his power, he will not submit to thee. So all these trying to enter into agreement with the devil, and you just stay there, me too, I stay here. He will not hear. He will betray you. If you tell him, just stay in that corner and let me just be here. You cannot enter into agreement with the devil. He will betray you. That's why you see when the devil gives people money, he will take away something else. If he gives them strength, he will take away something else. That's why the Bible says that it is the Proverbs 10 verse 22. It is the blessing of the Lord that what? maketh rich and added no sorrow with it. Only God can give you something and it will last. In my place, they say, for it to be sweet, much, and last, it has to be from God. For it to be sweet, much, and last, is from God. I leave you to be interpreting it while I move to number three. Number three, how to crush all oppositions to your higher heights. Put on the whole armor of God. Every armor of God that you know, put them on, because you have fight, you have a war to fight. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. You have battle to fight. So put on all the armor that you have. Every single armor you have, let it be on you. Make sure it is on you. And don't allow any devil to take it away from you. If I were you, every single thing that relates to the fruit of the Spirit, I will claim them. I will take them. I will embrace them. According to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Every fruit of the Spirit, I will take them. I will embrace them. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And against such, there is no law. Somebody say a big amen. Somebody say a big amen. Somebody say a loud amen. I see God changing your level tonight. I see God changing your level tonight. If you believe that, come on, shout, I receive it. Come on, shout, I receive it. Also, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. For in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. So put on the whole armor that will help you to be able to succeed in this battle. Because life is a battlefield, not a playground. Life is a battlefield, not a playground. Husbands, tighten your belts. Life is a battlefield. Wives, tighten your belts. Life is a battlefield. Children, tighten your belts. Life. Maybe that's why when a child gets to the world, if he does not cry, they beat him to cry. If a child comes to the world and he's just smiling, they'll say no. He said no. They will look for the hand like this. Wah! And the smile, kind of smile. He said no. Why? Then when he begins to cry, then they congratulate the mother. Because if he doesn't cry, they can even say that his brain is not okay. So maybe his brain is not okay. Normally when a child is born, he should cry. Say, hey, I have entered into a battlefield. Then they have to use breasts to shock him. Say, don't worry, don't worry. Just be eating for 1 year. After 1 year, you know that life is not an easy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God will help us. I say, God will help us. You and I, we will come out as a victor. We will come out victorious. We will be conquerors in the name of Jesus. Let me move very fast now so as to close in the next 10 minutes. Number one now, how to crush all opposition. Number four, eject fear. The fearful cannot fight opposition. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of sound mind. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear is not your portion. What you need is faith. Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith thou shalt be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil, of the wicked. Until you take faith, you can't fight the wicked. You can't fight the devil. And from today, you will never know fear again. The spirit of boldness enters into you today. Can I hear you say a big amen? Number five. Engage in warfare prayers if you want to oppose the devil. Engage in warfare prayers. Psalm 68 verse 1. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Until you are ready to pray, God will not arise. And if God does not arise, your enemy will not scatter. I have examples for all this one by one, but because of time, I can't take all the examples. So I'm just moving at the speed of light so as to allow us to be able to close early enough. Number six, because of time, is use relevant equipment to crush the devil. There are different kinds of equipment to fight. For example, in Isaiah 30 verse 30, we have equipments like fire, tempest, and hailstones. And the Lord shall cause glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lightning down of his arm, with the indignation of his anger, with the flame of a devouring fire. You saw why we're praying, we're using the instrument of fire to destroy powers in our villages, to destroy forces of darkness against our progress. So fire is an instrument. We have another instrument called tempest. We have another one called hailstones. You must be able to know the different instruments you should use that you can use to fight the devil. In Isaiah 41 verse 16, there's whirlwind. You can send whirlwind to carry the house of your wicked, of the wicked against you. Somebody who is pursuing you and who is speaking against you, and suddenly wind carry the person's roof, and water enter this television and enter this bed, enter this fridge, enter the chair, will he have to remember you? It's because your enemy have peace, that's why they are pursuing you. When your enemy does not have peace, they will not have time to pursue you. I don't even know why they are disturbing me. Send whirlwind to them. They are driving like this. Then the wind carry their car inside the ocean. Because he knows how to swim. He swims for like 2 hours before guys that are into fishing carry him inside boat with fish. The car, when he comes out, he will say, I will never do this again. I will never pursue this woman again. I will never pursue her again. From today, no devil will pursue you again. I say no devil will pursue you again. You use different instruments. To dislodge them. And number six is, seven, you engage in the power of persistence. If you want to crush your opposition, you must be persistent. In Genesis 26, 12 to 22 that I read earlier on, Isaac was persistent before he could crush his enemies. You must be persistent. How many of you have seen boxers fighting or wrestlers fighting? They are persistent. I think in 1 Corinthians 9:24 or so. Now run it all in a race, and one obtained the prize. So run that you might obtain the prize. There are many people in the competition. Yes. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one is very prize. So run that you might obtain the prize. Run. Be persistent. That's what we are talking about. Be a persistent person. Don't give up. If someone is sleeping beside you, tell them, don't let opposition make you sleep. Tap them. Don't let opposition make you sleep. As I begin to round up tonight, before we go into the final prayers, number six. Number what? Eight. Let me just give you this one more, then I'll stop there. Number eight on how to cross opposition is connect with your prophetic, connect with prophetic grace. Hosea 12 verse 13. And by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet was he preserved. The work of prophets and pastors is deliverance. God sends genuine pastors as agents for the deliverance of mankind. Many years ago, before this ministry started, God spoke to me and said, I'm sending you forth to declare, you open up, you set men free from oppression and depression. So anything that makes you unhappy, then God sent us here to remove it. Anything you think of, you say, oh, I'm not happy about this. Your prophet, like I said on Sunday or thereabout, is for your profit. That's why those that don't have pastors, they suffer. They suffer. They struggle through, like they face battles alone. They face battles alone. When you truly have a prophet and a pastor, before battle get to you, he would have first, the devil will first try to try to check him out if he's still there. But because there's no connection, then the devil will bypass him. But from today, devil will not be able to handle you again. You must connect with prophetic grace and stay under the cover to be able to assess your dominion over opposition. There are many in this church that have faced different battles. They will have tried to kill many people in this church. But God, in his infinite mercy, continue to cover us under the prophetic unction. You will never lose that cover. You will never lose that cover. You will never lose that cover. On this week, one of our members here, this person is here now, sent me a text and said she just sat down and was thinking of God's grace in her life. And she thought of everything, that how God has saved her. And she started listening, this, that. And she saw that every of these things, God has used us as instruments in her story. And she was appreciated. And I replied, I said, ah. That's the same. That's the exact way I replied. I said, ah. Not be me, oh. Now God. It is our God that is doing it. But we must stay under that cover to continue to enjoy the blessings. To God alone be all the glory. Result of crushing your position. One, destruction of your position. When you crush your position, you destroy them. Two, you restore your dignity. Number one, result of crushing of opposition is that destruction of all opposition. Result of crushing the opposition. Result, media help us so that we can move fast. Result of crushing the opposition is destruction of all opposition. Two, restoration of lost dignity. When you fight your opposition and you win, you crush them. Two, you restore lost dignity. Three, peace is restored to you. Peace. Do you know sometimes there has to be war before there can be peace? Hello? I say sometimes there must be fighting before there can be peace. Until you first fight, say, no, I don't want this. Sometimes you need to insist that no, me ogbase, I say I don't want this. This is not my portion. Number four, result of crushing of opposition is elevation. Elevation. And number five is honor. Number one is destruction of all opposition. Number two is restoration of lost dignity. Number three is restoration of peace and joy. Number four is elevation. Number five is honor. I think I better stop here. Ladies and gentlemen, we are about to hit the final lap of this meeting. We are about to fight the remaining of those who have said that they insist that what God said will not come to pass. We are about to challenge those who are saying that over their dead body, you and I will not make it. We are about to confront forces that says that our life will not achieve what God has destined. They will fail precipitously. I said, they will fail precariously. Rise up on your feet.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.